Blog Talk Radio.
Oh come, Emmanuel, and rescue captive Israel. He lie in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. Oh come, Son of God, and save your people. Go against all odds. You are the truth, the life, the only way to give us victory over the grave. Oh, rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. Oh come, Jesus Christ, we thank you for the pearl of great price. We walk now in your wonderful light, with the promise of eternal life. Oh, rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. Shall rescue captive Israel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of UCA Radio, United Christian Ambassadors Radio. This is a special edition. This is our Christmas program, you could call it, okay? And we're going to really get into some deep things about the birth of Jesus Christ. So stay right there. Don't go away. We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll get right into the message. Praise the Lord.
We three kings from Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense on the deity nigh, praying, praising, all men raving, worship him, God Most High. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a light of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, filled in the stone-cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Heaven's reply. Oh, star of wonder, star of night,
hallelujah,
star with royal beauty bright,
westward
leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Hallelujah. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and the message. This is a special edition, our Christmas story. And by the way, you've heard many Christmas stories throughout the years, but we're going to tell you the real story of the birth of Jesus Christ, the real story. So hang in there and just sit back and relax. And let's just walk through this whole thing, okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Father God. I ask that you open the hearts and the minds of the people, that they will hear and receive your word today. Help them, Lord. Strengthen them, that they will be able to walk closer to you and understand who you really are. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to start this story with the prophet Daniel, because his story plays a big part when it comes to the birth of Jesus Christ. While in captivity to the Babylonians, Daniel was exalted and served under four kings during his lifetime in Babylon because of the Spirit of the Lord being with him. Daniel had learned the Babylonian language, their enchantments, the reading of the stars, and all their ways. And Daniel was eventually put over all the magicians in Babylon because the Spirit of the Lord was with him. Now, these magi, or magicians, people that the kings would call on to do their enchantments, to solve problems, to do fortune-telling, reading of the stars, and other divinations for the king. But Daniel was 10 times smarter than all of these magicians because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The king eventually made Daniel the head of them all, but Daniel remained faithful to the Lord, although he was over all of these worldly astronomers, witches, and magicians. Daniel still taught all of them. He was over them, and he taught all of them. He taught and told all of these Babylonian magicians about the coming of the Messiah, and he left them clear instructions to follow in the event of his death, commanding them to teach the next generation of magi and for the generations to follow to continue to teach of the Messiah and his star. And they did so for 14 generations. Every generation of magi or wise men were taught of the Messiah. Daniel had all the astronomers that were under him, both Babylonians and Jews, to teach every generation about the coming of the Messiah, for them to pass this teaching down to every generation of Magi, instructing them to look for his star until the generation came that was to actually see the star. He taught that when they see the star, they should follow it, because it would lead them to the Messiah, and they were to give the Messiah Daniel's gifts. So Daniel taught all the wise men to teach the generations after them and on until they reached the generation of Magi, known as the wise men, would see the star and find the Messiah. They were to give Yeshua Jesus, the child, Daniel's gifts. You see, Daniel never married, but after serving 4 kings, he became very wealthy. So he prepared gifts to be handed down to every generation of wise men to give to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm talking about Daniel the prophet. Now, Daniel prophesied while in captivity that the Messiah would come in 483 years. And Jesus actually started his ministry 483 years after the prophecy of Daniel. After Daniel prophesied that he would come in 483 years, Jesus started his ministry in exactly 483 years. It was fulfilled just as Daniel said. Now, let's move forward a few hundred years to the first chapter of Matthew, verse 18. You're going to find this teaching very interesting, okay, the whole thing. All right, we're in Matthew, verse 18. All right, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. I'm talking chapter 1, verse 18. Okay, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, the book of Matthew just kind of leaves it at that. But if you turn to the book of Luke, he goes into a little more detail. You see, Luke actually tells us that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary in the 6th month. And this is what he said. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Now, it's true that Mary was highly favored and blessed among women because she was about to give birth to the Son of God. But still, she is not to be worshipped for this. She was being obedient to the will of God. And she submitted herself to him. There's something that, you know, that's something that we all should take a lesson in today. And that's submitting totally to the pure word of God. Now, Mary didn't quite understand why this angel was saluting her in this manner. After all, he just appeared. So she was fearful at first. But the angel went on to say, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." First of all, it's important to note that the angel said that she would conceive in her womb, not her egg. Mary was merely a human incubator for the Lord to house the incorruptible seed of God. None of Mary's fallen natured blood flowed through the veins of Jesus. Now, a lot of people argue that point with me, but it's true. None of her fallen natured blood was in the veins of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had to be pure. He had to be the perfect sacrifice. He was God in the flesh. So he had to only have the DNA of God himself and God alone. That's why his birth was a miraculous birth. Don't forget that. His birth was a miraculous birth. Mary stemmed from the line of fallen natured Adam after he fell. So his bloodline became corrupt, and Mary was a part of that corrupt bloodline. But when Jesus came, he was placed in her womb, not her egg. So her bloodline would not flow through Jesus Christ. It was very important that Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. He couldn't have any defilement in him. He had to be the perfect sacrifice. That's why his birth was a miraculous birth. Now, here's a quick note. Keep in mind that Mary was not the mother of God. She was the mother of the child. Nowhere in the Bible did the apostles ever refer to Mary as the mother of God. This is something that Catholicism teaches. But she was called the mother of the child, Jesus, later to be the mother of John the Revelator, because Jesus gave her to John when he was on the cross. Remember? In John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple, which was John the Revelator, took her unto his own home. Okay, so now, Mary had a question. We're going back to the angel talking to Mary. Mary had a question. You see, she was a virgin, so how can she have a baby? Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" This is what I like. You see, I like this part because Mary asked a question, and it was a reasonable question. And the angel explained how this was going to happen. Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." You see, the King James Version of the Bible doesn't really show how excited Mary was about all of this. But believe me, she was very, extremely happy. She was overjoyed about this. Now, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was pregnant with John the Baptist. She was in her 6th month. Here's the thing that's quite interesting. Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, the high priest, was doing his part in the temple. when Gabriel, the angel, appeared to him. The angel appeared to him first, then to Mary. He appeared to announce that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a son and for him to name the child John. John would become the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was called John the Baptist, the one prophesied to come. He was the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. But Zechariah was having a hard time believing that he was going to have a son because he was old and his wife was old also. Zechariah asked for some kind of a sign, and the angel gave him a sign. The angel told him that he would be dumb, unable to speak a word for 9 months until John was born. Here was Zechariah. Now, this is where he made his mistake. Here's his mistake. First of all, Zechariah, being the high priest, should have been aware of two things. Number one, an angel of the Lord is right in your face, and he's telling you that you're going to have a son in your old age. And number two, you know that this is possible for God to do this. Zach, you know that this is possible because you read something like that in the Torah. So you know that it happened hundreds of years ago to Abraham when his wife, Sarah, gave birth to Isaac, and both of them were in their old age. Come on, Zach. What the angel told Mary was more impossible to believe than what he told Zechariah. Mary was going to have a baby. She was going to have a baby without the assistance of a man. But Zechariah would come together with his wife and bring forth John the Baptist. Mary submitted, but Zechariah had to go through a humbling experience until his miracle would come to pass. However, when John was born, the first thing that Zechariah did when he was able to speak was prophesy and praise the Lord. Sometimes the reason that some of our miracles have not come to pass yet could be because we need a humbling experience like that of Zechariah or something so that we can come out of it with praise, worship, and prophesying. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. After Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was hurt. You probably could not imagine the pain. Now just think about it. Your fiance just got pregnant and it's not your baby. Think about it. According to Jewish tradition, being a spouse to someone is just the same. It's just as important as being married to the person. You just haven't completed all of the ceremony and the consummation of the marriage. So Joseph was considered married to Mary. That's why this was such a big deal. The Bible doesn't go into detail, but I bet it was a lot of fussing and arguing going on. I bet Joseph wanted to know who got her pregnant. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was going to divorce her. This showed how much Joseph loved Mary, who, by the way, was about 14 years old or so when she gave birth to Jesus. Some say about between 14 and 17 when she gave birth to Jesus. 12 is actually the age of the Old Testament, of the old Jewish law for marriage for girls. They could get married at 12 years old. Joseph could have made this public. Now, just going back, when a girl is 12, they could get married because the whole thing was for them to have children. So if they start at 12, they can have kids. They can have quite a few kids, you know, if they started at 12 years old. Joseph could have made this public because according to the laws of Moses, she should have been stoned, even at 14 years of age. As far as he could see, she broke one of the Ten Commandments, which states, thou shalt not commit adultery. If anyone committed adultery, both the woman and the man should be stoned to death according to the Torah. But God justified Mary because Mary did not break God's law. She did not commit adultery or fornication, for she was considered a virtuous woman in the sight of God, and God protected her. Unlike the many other women during Mary's time and even before her time who had gotten pregnant by other men other than their husbands, many of them lied out of fear of being stoned and said that they were the virgin that was spoken of in the book of Isaiah, which states as follows, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But of course, they were found to be liars, these women. Here's one reason that these women were found to be liars is because some of them had girls. But Mary was the real deal. She was really the virgin prophesied about in Isaiah. However, God had to confirm this to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine how relieved he was to know that Mary had not been with another man? And then how he must have felt honored at the same time, just knowing that God would choose his house and his wife for such a blessing as to be the stepfather of the Messiah, the Christ. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. They didn't come together. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was called Jesus, which means Savior, and in Hebrew, he is Yeshua, meaning salvation. He was God born into the world, God incarnated, God manifested in the flesh. He was Yahweh on earth, Elohim, or Emmanuel. He was God in the midst of them. God was among his people. Let's continue. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now let's talk about Herod a little bit first. Herod was a Jew that the Romans appointed king of a small Jewish state in Judea. He was known as a madman. He murdered 7 members of his own family and many rabbis. He was a Jew and known as Herod the Great because he was the greatest builder in Jewish history. He built Herod's temple. The wise men from the east, which were Persian men, they were also considered priests. They were believers of God. They were the descendants of the Magi taught by Daniel over 500 years before the time of Jesus. They came to Jerusalem to worship the real King of the Jews, Jesus Christ, because they saw his star, just as Daniel had taught them or had taught their forefathers. They were not only on camels, but they were on Persian horses and elephants as well. They traveled 1,000 miles, and it was more than just 3 men. You know, as tradition teaches us, 3 wise men, it was far more than that. It was a host, some say over 100. They were a caravan. Herod was troubled about this because he would do anything to keep his title as king. And now there are over 100 men from the east here at Jerusalem to worship another king? Herod wouldn't have it. Verse four through six. When he had gathered all the, talking about Herod, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he commanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now the chief priests and scribes were the people who knew the Torah, the book of Psalms, and the prophets. And they taught and read these scriptures in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So after conferring with them, Herod privately held another meeting with the wise men as well, and diligently asked them what time the star appeared. And from knowing the time the star appeared, he could estimate how old the child would be by now. Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem to search diligently for the child. He told them to find the baby and give him word so that he himself could come and worship him also. So you see how deceitful Herod was? Herod was possessed by Satan or some demon, some kind of demon. He had no intentions of worshiping the Lord. He wanted to kill baby Jesus. But the wise men didn't know it at first. So they departed to Bethlehem, and the star continued to guide them until the star stood right over the house where the baby Jesus was. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now Jesus was 2 years old at this time, so they never saw Jesus in a manger, as tradition tells us. But they saw Jesus as a little toddler in a house, as the scripture states. The magi, or wise men, fell down and worshiped him. There was a reason that they brought with them frankincense, myrrh, and gold. These were gifts befitting a king in the ancient world. These were the gifts Daniel had given their forefathers to give to the Messiah over 500 years before his birth. Gold, as a precious metal, it represented the nature of Jesus, the nature of God, being God in the flesh, and his kingship also. And frankincense, as perfume or incense, represented the sweet-smelling savor of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, into the nostrils of God, which also typified his priestly role. And myrrh, as anointing oil, which confirmed the fact that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, and actually prophesying of his death and embalming. Remember when the woman whose name was Mary, she anointed his feet, she anointed the feet of Jesus with perfume for his burial, and his body being anointed and prepared with spice after his death. Remember, this all pointed to the office, the work, and the sufferings of Jesus Christ. An angel of the Lord told Joseph, Mary's husband, to leave Bethlehem because Herod was seeking to kill the baby Jesus. And Joseph obeyed and went to Egypt, fulfilling scripture. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled. They stayed where they were until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. out of Egypt I called my son. They were in Egypt, and they stayed there till the death of Herod. And the scripture was fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Here's a quick revelation. Remember, Moses first came to Pharaoh. When he first came to Pharaoh, Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, let my son Israel go." Remember Exodus chapter 4, verse 22 and 23? "And thou shalt say," this is the Lord telling Moses what to say to Pharaoh. He said, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn." This was prophetic of Jesus Christ. And just as Israel came out of Egypt, so did Jesus, our Messiah, the real Israel, come forth out of Egypt, according to Scripture. And so shall we, the sons of God, come forth out of Egypt, which represents the world. The Lord warned this, warned the wise men in a dream that they should not return to Herod. So they went back to their own country another way. Herod was very angry. I mean, he was furious at the wise men. So he ordered his soldiers to kill every male child 2 years old and under in the city of Bethlehem and all the coast round about. The Lord really led Joseph, I have to say, because the Lord knew he could trust that Joseph would always obey, and he did. Joseph would obey him, and Joseph did. God had to put his faith in Joseph, in his angels, and in his prophets. God is moved by faith, his faith and our faith. God has faith that we will finish the course that he has placed us on in this hour, which is his straight and narrow pathway. There was a lot of spiritual activity going on during that, during the time of Jesus. And that's something. When I said, let's go back a little bit, when I said God has, he's placed his faith in us, on us as well, that we, he's got faith in us that we're going to finish this course, that we're going to stay on the straight and narrow pathway that he's placed us on. Praise the Lord. He's got faith in us. Now, going back a little bit, there was, going back to the time of Jesus' birth, there was a lot of spiritual activity going on during the time of Jesus' birth. For example, the angel Gabriel appeared before Zechariah and Mary. Joseph was instructed by an angel in a dream, and an angel appeared before shepherds at night, and the host of heaven appearing after the angel spoke with the shepherds and began to praise God. Remember this? When they began to praise the Lord, when they spoke to the shepherds in the field, the sound of the praise of angels were rolling off the mountains. All of this took place during that time. The King James Version doesn't necessarily speak of that. A lot of this is other information from the history of that time, of things that took place. The sound of the praise of angels were rolling off the mountains, and a great light that would light up the sky and then start rolling up and down the mountains. All of this activity as the angels sang praises to God. It was a great sight, and many people came out of their houses round about to see what this was. Can you imagine that? The mountains around your home, that's around in that area, was lit up in the middle of the night, lit up as though it was day, and you could see the light rolling up and down the mountains, and you could hear the angels, the sound of the angels that would start low and then rise crescendo until it reached a high forte as the angels and the bright light would roll up and down the mountains round about them. This was a sight to see. The Holy Spirit was moving strongly during that time. He even anointed John the Baptist while in his mother's womb. He leaped when he heard the salutation of Mary. God anointed Elizabeth so that she was able to have a child in her old age. And the Holy Spirit gave her knowledge to know that Mary was pregnant before Mary had a chance to tell her. And Elizabeth prophesied. The Holy Spirit fell upon Mary, and she prophesied, and she miraculously brought forth the Son of God. The Holy Spirit told Simeon, an old man, that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. He saw him. Then Simeon prophesied to Mary and Joseph concerning the child Jesus. And right at that moment, Anna, the prophetess, also came in and gave thanks to God and spoke of Jesus to all that wanted redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, she preached. There was a lot of activity going on during the birth, during the time of Jesus. When he was a child, from the time he was born, even when he was a child, there was a lot of activity. Jesus grew up and ministered to many people, healing them, casting out demons, raising the dead, and doing all kinds of miracles, signs, and wonders. He became our sacrificial lamb and died for the sins of the world and rose from the dead to reconcile us to the Father. So let us all remember that Jesus isn't a baby anymore. So let's not keep him a baby. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the Lord God, strong and mighty, and he has dominion over the heavens and the earth. Therefore, now, in this hour, the Christ Mass story continues. Because now, the sons of God, and when I say Christ Mass because we are a mass of anointed ones, Christ Mass, a mass of people, a mass of anointed ones. It continues. The story continues because now the sons of God shall be born. We shall be manifested. The anointed ones, the man-child company, Revelation 12, chapter 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. The church is going through a time of trouble, of tribulation and persecutions. And out of that tribulation and persecutions, the man-child company, or the sons of God, shall be born. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Just as Jesus was born and then called up to God and to his throne, so shall we, the sons of God, be born in this hour. I'm talking about really, truly born again in this hour and called up to God and his throne to be on the right side of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God is waiting to show forth the sons of God to the world. And the world, believe it or not, is waiting for us as well. We are a Christ mass of true believers, and the world wants to see us. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are waiting for the full manifestation of our new birth that will be clearly seen by all. We are God's sons and daughters reborn into the world. We are born again believers, but this time it will be plain to see. You see, many people say they're born again, but you can't see it. We are no different than anybody else. But this time it will be plain to see. We will be brought to light. The end result of our new birth will be visible to the world. The world will know that we are the seed whom the Lord hath blessed. the world will know that just as Jesus is the Son of the living God, they will physically be able to see that we are the sons of the living God. And then comes the kingdom of God. And that, my friend, is the real story. Amen? Amen. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea."
Joseph and his wife Mary came to bed.
that black and black night. They found no place to bear her child. Not a single room was in sight. By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn. And in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy child was born.
Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say. That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Said man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Praise the Lord. Let's keep going.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us today. And we're just going to play a few more Christmas tunes until it's time for us to go, okay? Here's Merry Christmas, Darling by T. Meyer McCain and Tom Gilmore. You guys, thank you for tuning in to our special Christ Mass message. I said Christ Mass. You know, we all know that Jesus Christ wasn't really born on the 25th of December, but we do know that he was born. And this is the season that even a lot of non-believers, a lot of people that don't even consider Jesus Christ are kind of open to it, the season. Everybody's happy. So this is a good opportunity to tell them the real story of Jesus Christ, to those who have an ear to hear. All right? We don't force anything on anybody. If you want to know, we tell you. All righty? So if you're going to celebrate Christmas this season, then just remember to keep Christ in Christmas. And remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, okay? If you're going to do it, let's do it the right way and worship the real God. It's not a pagan thing that we do as Christians because we worship him every day. So we just worship the real God, and we give thanks that God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that means continually believe in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. We serve the one true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, and we will see you next year, actually. So stay tuned. We won't be having a broadcast until next year. So stay tuned. Bye-bye.